Good morning again. Thank you, Dylan, for the good songs today. Appreciate that. And I want to say I just welcome again to everybody who's with us, especially visitors. We do have several, and it means a lot that you've come, especially this couple from Texas made their way to our congregation this morning. Appreciate y'all looking us up and being with us today. And a really good news, excited to make this announcement that a couple's been visiting with us for several weeks now, Jim and Ann Hartman, and they're from Perry, Florida. Recently moved to Jacksonville, and you know, like I said, they've been coming to our Bible studies and been here on Sunday mornings with us, and they've kind of checked us out and what we're doing and decided they want to be a part of the congregation and work with Lakeshore while they're here in Jacksonville. And so we're very happy about that. It's been a pleasure to get to know them, enjoyed talking to them, and just welcome to our church. And if you haven't met them yet, you know, make it a point to do so. And we look forward to worshiping with you and studying together. And I know Jim does a lot of teaching, and Ann as well, I'm sure. And I think they'll be a great blessing to our congregation. They're real good friends with Ray and Jewel Lyons, being from Perry, and know that family well. And so I know Ray and Jewel will be excited about this news as well. But we really look forward to having y'all part of the family here at Lakeshore. And we're going to ask Jim to lead us in our closing prayer this morning when we wrap up our time together. He'll lead us and dismiss us today. But today we want to continue our thoughts on prayer. Let me say before that, a reminder of the Vacation Bible School, August 7th and 8th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And a gentleman from Cincinnati, Ohio, his name is, slipped my mind. That happens to me a lot. His name is Todd Moore. And the only reason I mention it is because Ellen is in Cincinnati today and worshiping with her parents there, and Todd is a member of that congregation. He's going to be here to work with the kids, as well as our teachers, teaching about this very important scripture, Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And I think you're really going to love Todd. He's going to preach for us on the 9th, which is that Sunday. And but, you know, it's kind of a back-to-school theme. We'll be at the end of our summertime, and kids will be going back to school. Don't be conformed to this world. It's a lesson really for all of us, but especially our young people. But be transformed. You know, we need to be the way God wants us to be. And so parents especially, make a note of that. Friday night, Saturday morning in August. And pray about it. It'll be a great blessing, I believe, for our kids. Our men's Bible study will resume this week. We missed it last week, but we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 30, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Any man who would like to join us will be here at 7 o'clock. And we'll be looking at that chapter and discussing it. And so all men 13 and up are certainly invited to come and be with us. And so back to our topic we've been studying about the last few weeks, about prayer and focusing especially on the Lord's Prayer. And as I said before, my idea in presenting these lessons is really for those who, you know, are willing to admit they struggle. They don't pray as they should. Maybe don't pray at all. And, you know, if that's the case, if nothing else, pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm not suggesting that we should memorize this prayer, pray it once in the morning, and that should be the sum total of our prayer life. That's not my point at all. We all know that's not, you know, the way it should be. But again, if you struggle with prayer, if you don't know what to pray for, if you maybe don't even pray, I think this is a great place to start. And so we've been talking about what each part of this prayer means, and hopefully that helps us understand more about what we should be praying for. But if nothing else, you know, pray these words because they are beautiful. This is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And it can really get us started. And I believe as we pray this and as we think about what these each phrase, what it means, we will pray more than just these simple words. But again, if you're not praying, everybody needs to be praying. You know, and we said as we started this, going back to our theme, be doers of the word. There's nothing we can do, I don't believe, that will have more impact than for each and every person to be praying. And that's true as far as impact for our church collectively. We need to be praying for our group, pray for our elders, pray for the preacher. But also individually, if we're struggling and living the Christian life, you know, Jesus said we should always pray and not faint. Luke 18, verse 1. And again, I'll say that. I don't think there's anything that we can do that'll have more positive effect. Not that we go in our room and pray and we've done our duty for the day. No, what we pray about is, help me go out there and do the things, you know, actively, the practical things. But if we struggle with doing what God wants us to do, you know, maybe we need to start with praying to God and telling God that and asking Him to help us. You know, like I said, being honest with ourselves. How can we pray to God and not be honest? I suppose we could just memorize that and just say those words, but that's not truly praying. We need to be honest with God about our life. And if nothing else, you know, wake up in the morning. I've kind of gotten this habit of where I fall back on these words first thing in the morning before I really can realize what day it is or, you know, what my first task is just to say these words and think about what they really mean and how they apply to our life. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, that's, again, what our prayer life should be, just saying this prayer in the morning. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We can pray anytime, anywhere, and we should pray throughout the day. I think that song Dylan just led, Abide With Me, it sounds like a prayer at the close of the day. Isn't that what that song is really kind of saying? And certainly we should pray at the end of our day. I'm not just saying say this in the morning when we wake up, but I think it is an excellent way. In fact, in some ways, I think this prayer is kind of like a morning prayer when you wake up. We talked about how, you know, first of all, it talks about the kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, what a privilege to address God as Father, but it's not like our earthly Father. It's our Father in heaven, whose name is hallowed, is holy. And so we need to always have that respect, but also, you know, the boldness and confidence that we can call Him our Father. What a privilege that is. But never lose that reverence and respect. Praying for the kingdom and for God's will to be done on earth, just like it's done in heaven. But then it talks about our needs. And I want you to look at this list, and I want you to realize that really every need we have is covered. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I mean, stop and think about it. That pretty much covers the needs that we have any given day of our life. We need physical sustenance, right? We need our food. We need to be forgiven of our sins. We need help, because we're going to face temptation throughout the day. And then there's evil in our world. And the evil here, I believe, refers to, for example, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words defines it to whatever causes labor or pain or sorrow in our life. Depending on what Bible you're looking at, it might say, deliver us from the evil one. But I really believe that's the one there is added by the translators. If you look at the Old King James, New American Standard, American Standard, deliver us from evil. And it's not necessarily the moral evil, but it's the evil in our world, the bad things, things that cause labor, sorrow, and pain, things that happen that are part of life. When I pray this part of the prayer, I think about my daughter Emily maybe driving to UNF on the Buckman Bridge, rush hour. You know, and I want God to take care of her. I think about my son Riley, you know, going to school where, you know, sometimes evil people do horrible things to other groups of people in our country. And we think about people who are ill physically. And deliver us from evil. Praying for God. We talk about, sometimes people use expression, are you all prayed up? You know? In other words, have you done your prayers before you're fit to go to your task, or before you go to worship God? Or, you know, think about it again in the context of the morning. Am I all prayed up? Well, if I ask God, take care of my needs this day, forgive me of my sins, help me because I'm going to face temptation, and please, if it's your will, Father, protect me and my loved ones from all the evil. I think if we say that prayer, we're all prayed up. And we keep praying, you know, when we need to throughout the day. But, you know, what a wonderful way to start the day. There's one important part of prayer that's not even mentioned in this prayer. And that's what we call intercession. And I guess it can be related to some of these. But, you know, praying for other people. That's very, very important as well. And You know, our sister Teresa, who's in the hospital, needs our prayers right now. She's undergoing tests, and they're doing a test today. Afraid that she might have meningitis. We hope and pray, you know, that that's not the case, and we hope she gets good news, but, you know, that God takes care of her, whatever happens. And so let's remember to pray for her, but intercessory prayer. But, you know, that's not really mentioned or emphasized so much in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so that's kind of why I think of this as, at least for me, it's the great way to start the day. Remembering who God is and asking Him to take care of us. Isn't that really all of our needs that we have any given day? Give me food and shelter. Now, if I was to ask the question, which of those, how would you order them in terms of importance? As far as what is most vitally urgent and what I need more than anything else in order from most important to least important, I think number one would be sin, because we don't need to have sin in our life. And we can't be meeting God if we're guilty of sin that's not been forgiven. And so I think number one, as I look at it, is, you know, forgive us our trespasses. And we talked about, as we forgive those who trespass against us, we have to be forgiving ourselves. But we need to ask God for forgiveness. We're not fit to live the day if we're not right with God. And, you know, if you're not right with God this morning, that urgency applies to you, right, where you are today. And you need to make your life right. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that, because the Bible commands you to. You know, and if we've been honest with ourselves in the Lord's Supper this morning, and we know we're not living right, more than anything else, number one need is to be right with God. I would say number two is we need to stay close to God, and we're going to face temptation, and so we need to pray for God to lead us not into temptation. That's an interesting way of putting it, lead me not into temptation. It almost sounds like if we don't pray this, God is going to lead us into temptation. Is that what it's saying? Is that why we say this? Because if I don't, then God is going to lead me. I think we all know that's not right. God doesn't tempt us. I really believe what this is saying is, you know, it's acknowledging that God guides us in our life. He leads us through our day. And we're asking Him, you know, please help me about temptation. You know my weaknesses. Intervene if necessary and keep me out of trouble. Lead me not into temptation. See, this is where I think that if everyone would pray this, and if you'll be honest about your weaknesses and your sins, this part of the prayer, you're asking God to help you, you know, to be involved in your life and to keep you out of trouble. And I believe that God will do that. I believe God might, for lack of a better word, run interference in the pitfalls, you know, to which we are likely to run into trouble. That He might send someone our way, or He might cause something to happen to keep us away. You know, if we sincerely pray that God will lead us not into temptation, that He'll keep us. And certainly, you know, He promises to keep us from, you know, temptation more than we can bear. And that's a wonderful promise that He's given. But then we pray, you know, deliver us from evil and give us our daily bread. But sin is number one. Temptation's number two. You know, evil, we pray about that certainly. That's precious to us. But a car accident or a physical sickness, there's something far worse than that. And that's spiritual sickness. And so that's why I would put that number three. And then really, you know, our physical needs are important too. We pray for those, but I think we would all put that in the fourth position. And so, you know, everything is covered. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that if we ask God sincerely to help us with our sin, He promises He'll take it away. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we sincerely pray that prayer, and if we're a child of God, we know absolutely that He will take our sins away. If we repent, confess, if we're honest, we don't have to fear about sin in our life. You know, and likewise with this idea of temptation, as I was saying, I believe God will help us with temptation. Not that we're not going to be tempted, we are. But you recall this scripture in 1 Corinthians 10. And look at the language. It's very similar to 1 John. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. You know, that's what he said about sin. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. If we pray and we ask for God's help, I believe God will help us with our temptations. You know, we sometimes wonder, will God answer my prayer? And we often point out the qualification. He says he will answer our prayer, but if it's according to his will. And I don't know if it's his will, you know, that I recover from a sickness, perhaps. I don't know if it's his will that I get a new job or things go smoother at work. But you know, I do know it's his will that I resist temptation. Does that make sense? I know that is according to his will. And I really believe that if a person sincerely prays, God, help me with my temptation, I believe God will do that. And like I said, he might just work in the circumstances of our life to put us out of a situation that's going to be so tough for us to handle. Remember the story in the Old Testament of the prophet Balaam, Numbers chapter 22. Prophet of God, Balak, king of Moab, was very worried about the Israelites because they were just wiping out every nation in their path. And so Balak, king of Moab, called for Balaam and said, I want you to curse the children of Israel. And he refused to do it. God told him not to do it. I can't curse God's people. And so Balak, king of Moab, sent to him again. And he said, no, I want you to come curse them. He said, I will honor you greatly. You know, he kind of implied, I'll give you riches. I'll give you honors. And Balaam said, no, I can't do that. But then he thought, maybe I should go and hear him out. You know, just see what he has to say. And so he was kind of strong, but he decided he was going to go and listen to the king because he said, I'll give you all these honors and riches. And so he's on his way to talk to the king of Moab, and he's on his donkey. And an angel of the Lord, it says, stood in the pathway. And Balaam couldn't see it, but the donkey just stopped, you know, and he beat the donkey, and finally the donkey just kind of sat down on his legs. And then finally Balaam's eyes were opened. And I think God there was, you know, he was trying to teach Balaam a lesson. And he intervened. He sent this interference, if you will, into his life to keep him from doing what he was determined to do that wasn't really according to the will of God. And really, I don't think it's beyond the possibility of reality that God will do that in our life. That if we sincerely pray, this is something I know God wants all of us to do. He wants us to overcome temptation. And if we sincerely, as his children, ask him to help us. And it might make us mad the way he helps us because we want to do things sometimes that aren't right. But if we sincerely ask God for help, you know, maybe he'll just get involved in some way and keep us from doing things that we ought not to do. But I think that's all a part of this idea of, you know, asking God, what are we saying? Lead me not into temptation. Keep me from trouble this day. I believe if we ask that, he will help us with that. And so we know he'll forgive our sins. I believe he'll help us with respect to our temptations. But what about the evil? You know, I believe we should pray about this. Absolutely. And like I said, that's what I pray about. That's really when this Lord's Prayer really became more meaningful to me, is thinking about my family, you know, my children who had moved away, and keep them from evil. But we don't really have a guarantee that if we pray, you know, we shouldn't feel a lot of guilt that if I'd only prayed an extra hour, that sickness would not have come, or that disease, or that accident perhaps would not have happened. It's something to think about, you know, but what are we saying? Pray, deliver me from evil. Keep me from evil, from the things that would bring sorrow and pain and labor into my life, trouble. God has not promised that he's going to keep us from trouble. I don't know how to work all that out. If we pray, will he? If we don't, it's more likely for things to happen. I believe we should pray and we should ask God, but we know that there is going to be evil. And maybe what we're thinking is for God to kind of control and to help us deal with it. We studied last week, Matthew chapter 6. You know, Jesus said, every day has trouble. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's an amazing statement to me, because what it says is every day is going to have just enough trouble. The King James, I think, says, sufficient for each day is the evil thereof. And so each day is going to have some evil. There's going to be a little problem in every day of your life, enough to keep you humble. And that's really the purpose. And maybe we're asking God, you know, to be in control and just give us what you know we need, but not more than we can handle. But, you know, there's going to be problems in our life. Another good example of this is the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. Well, let's look at it. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's the idea of, you know, pain and trouble and sorrow. It brought him pain. Lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that twice. You know, this was the purpose for which God allowed it into his life. To keep him humble. You know, lest he should be exalted above measure. Because he was an apostle and he had these revelations. And so he says, you know, God allowed me to have this thorn in the flesh to buffet me. This painful, physical, not sure exactly what it was. And he says, concerning this thing, I prayed to the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He prayed for God to take it away. That's why I say, you know, just because we pray about evil doesn't mean it's always going to be taken away. Paul prayed about this three times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, therefore I will most gladly rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Do you notice how Paul goes through this transition? He's got this thorn in the flesh, and it's painful, it's hurting him. And he prays, God, take this away. And God says, no. And so what Paul does is he says, okay, well, thank you for giving it to me. Because I realize now that you're in control. You know that I need this. This is to keep me humble. See, God doesn't take evil out of our life. He allows us to experience a little evil every day, and sometimes more evil than we think we need. But we can pray for God to be with us, you know, and to watch over that process and to not give us more than we can handle. Maybe you're going through an experience like that in your life, something painful, something evil, something that brings sorrow and pain, trouble into your life. And maybe you're praying about it. God, please take this away. And, you know, there's just no change. And maybe we need to get to the point where we say, well, God, you know, I've asked you about this. If you see fit for me to bear this burden, then thank you for, you know, knowing what's best for me in my life. And help me to view it in the right way. And we can still ask him to take it away, but at some point, you know, we have to humble ourselves and just keep praying and keep trusting God. Paul, evidently Jesus spoke to him and said, no, you know, I'm not going to take it away. We would like sometimes for God to speak to us. We don't always know. We might ask, well, when will I realize this is just something God gives me? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know we should keep praying, you know, and keep trusting God, because sometimes he allows evil into our lives. Let me share one story to illustrate this, and then we'll conclude. My wife, as I mentioned, is in Cincinnati today. She's up there visiting her parents, Jim and Judy. Almost all of you know them. They're getting older. You know, and that's one of the reasons she went up to see them. It used to be that every February they would make a trip to Jacksonville. And they didn't make it this year. First year they realized, you know, it probably wasn't best for them to make that long drive. So they flew down later. But ever since we've lived here, you know, that was a regular thing. They would come to Jacksonville, get out of the north, you know, during the winter for a month and stay with us. But this was the first year they decided they wouldn't come. In addition to just coming and visiting with us, one thing Jim would always do is he would always prune the bushes at my house, especially the rose bushes, okay? That was his job. He had his own, you know, pruning shears, and He would go out and he would take care of, just cut all these branches way back, you know. He's a gardener. He understands how to do that. And he would always do a great job. Well, this year, you know, I realized, uh-oh, I'm going to have to go out there with my clippers and try to figure out what to do. I have no idea, you know. But it was up to me. And so I went out there and I cut them back a little bit. And I have to say, they bloom. They're still blooming. And so that's good. Doesn't look as nice as what he did. See, he's a master gardener. He knows how to prune bushes back. But God is, he's really the master gardener. He knows how to prune our lives. And by that I mean allowing sometimes evil, painful things into our life. The Bible uses that word to talk about how God chastens us. He prunes us. Scripture there in John chapter 15. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and that's talking about us. We're the branches. If we don't bear fruit, it says he's going to take us away. But every branch that bears fruit, the ones who are doing what is right, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be pruned so that they can bear more fruit. And this idea of pruning, you know, is a very painful thing. It just means to cut out a part of your life. Take, you know, part of this plant that's growing and just cut it off. So the plant will be healthier. And so that it will, you know, bear, like it says, bear more fruit. And I'm a terrible pruner. My father-in-law is pretty good. But God, he's the master pruner. He knows exactly what we need in our life. And if he allows, you know, some evil to come our way, perhaps it's because he knows we need to be humbled. Or we need to be taught a lesson about something that we've been doing that's not exactly right. Or, and we may not know, but maybe we need to be put into a different situation in life where we can help other people. He has a purpose. And my point is, we don't give up on God, you know, when evil comes our way. We can pray. And again, I pray this probably more than anything. It's somewhat selfish, but protect my family. Protect my loved ones from the evil that exists in the world. If I pray for sin and sincere about it, he'll forgive it. If I pray for help in temptation, he's faithful. He won't allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. Sometimes we pray about evil and God says, no, I've judged that this is something you need to deal with. And I think we just have to trust, you know, that God is that master gardener and pruner, and that he does know what is best for our life. In fact, we're going to sing the song in just a moment. This is my Father's world, this beautiful world in which we live. It's our Father's world. He is our Father, not just the creator of this world, but he's our Father, and he loves us, and he knows what is best for us. But what a blessing it is, you know, to be able to go to God in prayer. And look at it again, how it begins. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's in heaven. And how it concludes, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory. God has all authority, all control. And he's our Father. And we can go to him and we can pray. And we must do that. We should do that. Everybody needs to be doing that. You know, we're commanded to do that. And I don't think there's anything we can do that'll have more positive effect. If we're not doing it, please pray. And like I said over and over, if nothing else, you know, just start by praying and thinking about the words of the Lord's Prayer. And that'll be a good place to be started. And we'll be benefited by doing that if we do it with sincerity in all of our heart. So thank you very much for listening to these thoughts about prayer. And I hope that it'll be more mindful for you and you'll spend more time in prayer and really appreciate, you know, these wonderful promises that God has given to us. We're going to sing one more song today, a reminder that the creator of the world is our Father. What a wonderful blessing that is. If we can help anybody this morning in your relationship with God, whatever we can do to assist you, please come forward now and make that known as we stand and sing at this time.